how we're doing. Andy Kimball here. We are the Andy and Amanda Show. We're going to go ahead and chime Amanda here in just a minute. We're remote today, so just give me a minute here because we're going to put the show together and assure you of a fun, interesting, provocative conversation about, we don't know what yet. Give me a second. Let me we'll get Amanda signed in here. Here we go. Push the right button for the UK. UK is on board. We are on board. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
You know, it's amazing how we can, because we're having, this is an internet talk radio show. We go around the world, as you know, Amanda. And every once in a while, for whatever, for reasons unbeknown to us, we have some internet issues and connections, I guess, as people do around the world.
Yeah. We don't let it stop us. This is the most incredible thing.
Yeah, we've got to make sure the same issues, and this is one, so therefore I'm calling in remotely to our own show. So I'll be the guest. You go ahead and interview me. Go ahead. Hi, it's Kimball. Andy and Amanda.
Welcome, Mr. Kimball.
You guys are the best. You guys have the greatest show. I mean, it's amazing. I listen to you guys all the time, and thank you so much for inviting me on. It's just an amazing show. I think you guys are the best radio show there is.
Oh, thank you so much. We truly appreciate your feedback, and it's even greater having you on the show.
To be honest, I'm really, it's a honor. I got to tell you, it's an honor.
Well, bless you, sweetheart. So tell us, where are you calling from?
That's a good question. What's today? Tuesday?
No. We're actually another day ahead, darling. We're on Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Shit. Yes. Let me find out what my schedule is. I'll tell you where I'm at today. Wednesday. Let me see. Wednesday says I'm in regular San Diego, California, man. Yeah.
Oh,
where are you?
Wow. Fantastic. I'm sat in my chair in my my little studio.
Oh, cool.
In the UK.
Cool. I'm
chatting with you.
UK. I'm outdoors. It must be your 75. Maybe core 72. Do I hear 72? 72 or 3 degrees. And here in Southern California, beautiful blue skies. Birds are chirping.
Oh.
Mary Poppins is coming down with her umbrella. Just a spoonful of
sugar. Oh.
It's one of them days.
I'm jealous.
The birds are chirping. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
It really is.
It's actually 48 degrees here, darling. 48 degrees.
Oh,
yeah, it's a little nippy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am wrapped
bones.
Up like a dog's dinner. Yeah, you know.
actually, I'm visualizing that. You look very cuddly to me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bless you. Mm-hmm. That's very sweet of you to say.
How's your
Wednesday been progressing, sweetheart?
Up until I couldn't get on. It says no security. It says internet. It says no internet. The message is, connected, no internet. In other words, I'm on the network, but no internet. You know, so the internet is with the provider, and they know about this, man. They've ducking in and out, and they came out to the place and said, "Hey, you know, it's not you. It's in the main, you know, up on the pole, whatever, where everything comes in, and your whole street and the street next to you is affected. And it'll take a couple of weeks to get you and fix it. And your internet signal is showing us that you're going in and out." And I'm like, and they said it'll take a couple of weeks. So it hasn't been so bad recently.
Okay.
It has dropped out a few times, but they have not fixed it yet. And you know what pisses me off a little bit? That you have to be down for 4 hours before you get some kind of credit on your bill, they say.
Really?
And I'm paying 100% of the bill, and I don't get 100% of internet. So what's that about?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a bit unfair, 4 hours. I guess they're having to set a time, aren't they? Just because someone's internet can normally go down if it's a problem their end rather than a problem their end. But 4 hours is a bit extreme.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When you call and report a problem, which I haven't done on this one yet, done with it. When you call, you get a recording. It says, if you're calling about a power outage in your area, that we are aware of a power outage and our technicians are working on it now, text or push 1 if you'd like us to send a text when service is restored. And they do all that stuff. And they do text you and everything, you know, all that, right? But here's the issue.
Yeah.
If I am, like we do, we do this show, and we have advertisers coming on board and guests coming on board, and I can't get a clear internet connection to the show and run our show like we normally would do it with news clips and so forth, and our, mm-hmm. and our special guests to come in to comment, right?
Yeah.
It costs us money and energy and time and you know, we're reaching this program is on a roll and we need to be on a regular schedule. We can't suddenly say, oh, we're skipping today, which sometimes, you know, okay, let's face it, sometimes we do. But, you know, and when we do that, we usually know in advance, so we plug in a rerun or we do something to fill the slot. But
absolutely. I can't be avoided
anyway,
at the time, so yeah.
I'm just venting here just because I'm a little frustrated. So,
get off
anyway,
your chest.
Just, you know,
get off your chest.
You know, why should we have to pay? But, you know, then I was on with maintenance, and I said, do me a favor, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. You're down. The internet service isn't consistent, but I'm paying the bill every month. So you got to do something about it. You got to do something about it. Let me make a note of that. And then I get some kind of text or email that says, oh, you know, your service wasn't down for 4 hours, therefore we can't give you credit. I'm like, fuck that shit.
Yes.
That's another fuck that shit. That's another
exactly.
one. We get that T-shirt made. Thanks to the folks over thanks to folks over at GameDayTheMovie.com, hint, we're getting some T-shirts with the Andy and Amanda logo that say "fuck that shit" because their movie production studio, which I forget the name of it, an acting studio there in Pennsylvania, but they have a studio. I guess you can get it maybe via the website. But anyway, their studio has the same slogan we do, you know, "fuck that shit." So they thought it would be great that they got T-shirts made with our logo and then fuck that shit. How many times have I said that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Many folks that are offended by that, but this is internet radio, not broadcast, so I can see where the fuck I went for right now before we take the airwaves.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Pretty much.
We do try to be respectful people, but, you know, we're human like everybody else. We express. This is our way. I'm sure you do, too, secretly.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's interesting? That could present a subject here. Cursing. Let's talk about cursing.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Curse. When you're a kid and you curse, you're supposed to, you know, your parents or somebody, your relative or your babysitter, you know, whatever, maybe give you a timeout, may even spank you, timeout, yell at you, whatever, for cursing.
Mm.
Until suddenly you're 14 and it's legal to curse.
Yeah.
Or 15 or 16. Who defines the line? At what birthday can you curse and not get a timeout or spanking? Which is it your 12th birthday, your 13th birthday, your 14th birthday, your 11th birthday? Who says that cursing is bad? If I say fuck, actually fucking is not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. That's why you and I are here. People fuck to get us here.
You can deny that, right?
All right. So if I say fuck, you think hallelujah for that, because if I had it, we wouldn't be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Right? And who says cursing is a sin? Isn't the Bible that fuck is you don't say fuck, it's an you'll go to heaven? What the fuck is that? Well, excuse me, what the heck is that about? So.
Yeah.
Right? Here's how, this is child rearing according to me. I'm going to write a book. Because I spend a lot of time to stay home dad, right? So I'm going to write a book. Because I've got, I mean, everybody can rave about their daughters, but my daughters turned out just, I get compliments everywhere they go. Man, those kids. And they truly are. And I'm not saying this is a biased dad. I really must say that from birth till today, I don't know about tomorrow, but birth till today, the whole ride of bringing up kids has been one spectacular second after another. Not a moment, not a month, not a day, but a second. Every single second has been amazing, right through teenagehood, you know, everything has been amazing. They're articulate, they're bright, they're effective, they're sensitive, they're atheists. Excuse me, they're...
Well, thank you for pointing that out to everyone.
So Jewish atheist. But spiritual, right? Spiritual. But so here's what I'm saying. I curse all the time when the kids were young. I'd be on the phone, fucking, you know, my car wouldn't be ready. What do you mean, fucking ain't shit ready? God damn it, fucking, I brought it over there. You know, sometimes kids hear me curse all the time, right? Every other word. Not quite that bad. I'm exaggerating. Yes. This is entertainment, so I have to exaggerate. You know what I'm saying? All right. So it's not that bad in real life, but I just feel like entertaining, so we'll say, I don't need a fucking word. Just fuck this. Fuck that. So it wasn't that
okay.
bad. But not far from that. But I'm exaggerating a little, just so you know. Okay. So so we're riding in the car one day, and my kids don't curse. I tell them not to. I never told them not to curse. Because if I do it, why shouldn't they? Right? I never said don't curse. But they just didn't feel right about doing it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And nobody told them, oh, you don't do that. They just felt, you know, internally, just some reason it didn't feel right to say, to be aggravated like that gets. And even,
even their mom,
you know, not as bad as me, but their mom cursed too, right? And my mom, the grandmother cursed, right?
Yeah.
All right, so my whole family, everybody around us curse all the time. Like, we all stand around our kids and curse.
On purpose, I can see it now.
We're waiting for them to do it. They won't. We march around them in a circle like Indians. We curse. And we all dance around and wait for the curse. They just won't do it. Okay, yes, they won't. So one day, when my little one was in the car carrier seat, you know, and she's, I think less than two, I forget what the age is, going back too far, but two or three, somewhere in that, just barely talking. See, she's talking, but
yeah.
If she lives here, they're not an amazing, although her vocabulary is so funny because she hears her say complex words, and she would use them when she communicated without knowing the meaning. She used some really complicated word, and we'd all get a kick out of it, and we would say, what does that mean? She'd go, what does whatever the word is? I said, what does that mean? She'd say, I don't know. Oh, we just laughed. It's so funny because she used it correctly. But
yeah.
Say, how do you know what that word is? I don't.
Wow.
But dude, you know,
isn't
for a two-year-old,
cool?
Right?
Yeah.
It's very cool. So we're riding the car one day. The whole car's quiet. We're taking a trip somewhere, whatever we were doing. I don't know. But the entire car, you know, we're all just driving. We're all minding our business. The car's quiet. And Caroline's in the back in the car carrier seat. And she's playing on her phone, her computer, her little handheld, whatever she has in her hand. I don't know, whatever it is. And suddenly you hear this little voice out of nowhere. Shit.
Okay.
We all turned and looked at each other. My wife and I turned and looked at each other. We're like, what the hell?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, those moments are so funny. They are so funny, though.
And,
I mean, it's...
You know, I tell my kids... Here's how I did it. This is trial and learning, according to me. I told my kids that it's perfectly okay to curse in our house. Perfectly okay. There's no problem with it. As a matter of fact, if you want to use another word instead of whatever word, but cursing is nothing more than venting. It's expression. It's relieving something pissed you off. Bam, whatever comes out. That's all it is. Don't make it mean anything. You know, fuck is not a bad thing. Shit is what we all shit.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What? Oh, don't say that. Oh. You know? Well, okay, if I don't say it, then I won't do it either, okay? See how long I last in life. All right? So what the hell? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so I told my kids that you're free, don't – it's perfectly okay, but here is what not to do. Don't, you know, I'm married into a big Catholic family and her grandparents on that side say grace before every meal. So do not curse in front of your grandparents. You can curse in front of my mother. You can curse in front of her. She might get a kick out of her, say something or just kind of whatever. But she gives you have to have permission or something. You need, you know, in our house. But you need to know when you go outside the house, when you're at friends, when you're at friends' houses, when you're with other people, do not curse. It's not appropriate.
Yeah,
not appropriate.
Of course, respectful.
And you don't do it. You just don't do it. The rules in our house are the rules in our house and only in our house. Only in our house. So if we say something, if we lay down the law, so to speak, we'll also follow that law with where that law is to be enforced or not enforced. Cursing is in our house only, not outside our house. And the kids are cool with it, and they never, ever, ever, ever had an issue. And I have no problem with cursing.
That's great.
What is your take on my opinion of childbearing now?
No, I can respect that. I mean, no, my parents were awesome when I was growing up when it comes to cursing. I mean, obviously they knew. I mean, they didn't teach me to curse. They used to do it on and off on occasion. There's something that irritated them. Oh, shit. All the words, fuck. And then they look at me like, oh, crap, you know, we said that in front of the kids. But it's like if they ever heard me do it, they would be, they'd look at me with that kind of cheeky kind of smile and say, really, you shouldn't have said it. But, you know, I'm not going to say anything because, you know, I'm guilty of it. So they didn't ever tell us off for cursing. Obviously, they were educating us to not doing it around other people because it was disrespectful. You don't go around in public saying effing this and shit that all the time. But, yeah, they were very laid back. So, you know, it got to a point where I could swear in front of them when I got a bit older. And, you know, they weren't bothered about it as long as I, again, I was respectful to other people. And, you know, who doesn't do it in a situation like, do you know what comes to mind? You know that movie Four Weddings and a Funeral with Hugh Grant?
Oh, sure.
Remember that movie? Yeah, the first beginning part of that movie cracks me up because it's the British to a T. So when he's like getting ready to rush to this wedding, he's like, fuck. Fuck. It's like, yes, that's us, you know, we curse a lot. So, you know, but yeah, I totally agree. You know, I'm very grateful to my parents for being that laid back and pretty cool about it. But yes, they taught me to be. I think it's okay. You're going to hear it, aren't you? You're going to hear it anyway from your friends and people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to. And they're going to grow up hearing it. And they're going to grow up with kids, other friends and kids, as they get older. I'm talking about maybe I'm guesstimating 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, which is still obviously very, very young. They're going to hear it in school. When they go to the playground, when they do, they're going to hear kids curse. And then they start cursing. But my kids, and a lot of kids, not just mine, won't. They just won't. They just were told at an early age it's not appropriate. You don't do it. But some kids just go to the playground and curse. I'm trying to think when I was in elementary school, I never cursed.
I can't remember if I did or not. Actually,
I just don't remember. You think? I'm just trying to think back in my head.
Yeah.
I went to a great school, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. I went to a very progressive school, very, very progressive outdoor, you know, no real grades, projects, you know, just call teachers by the first name. You know, just outdoor time, you go to classes or you don't, whatever, just a lot of time, and you learn by projects and by doing, you build things. Like, you know, when I was in fifth grade, I bred hamsters and did all sorts of experiments, just the big nocturnal animals. Can you turn a nocturnal animal into a regular daytime?
Wow.
Like, nighttime sleeping and an exhibit. That was this is Frank Institute, a big science museum in Philadelphia. They went to the schools and they said, we're going to elect, you know, certain students to be part of our exhibit. And I got elected. And I got, you know, love what you're doing with animals, rodents, breeding, and boom. And, you know, in fifth grade, you know, I'm doing this stuff. You know, we had sleepovers at the school. It was all outdoors. You know, we take our telescopes, we study the stars, and, you know, talk about the universe and all that kind of stuff. One time we had a sleepover and a bunch of astounding can of paint, and we started painting the school, which wasn't taken long too.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we did. We came. I'll never forget it. The poor teacher, who's the science teacher, I felt so bad for the guy. I felt so bad. Because, of course, because we slept over in the school that night. It was so much fun. And when the principal and everybody came to school the next day, they found some of the buildings painted.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So what they make us do, they made us, like, you're under arrest. They made us stand with our hands to the wall, like holding up the wall. You know, they made us, you know, all of us stand there. I don't think anything major happened, but they were mad at us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the teacher got in trouble, actually. But
I'm surprised they didn't spray you with paint so that it was just your silhouette on the wall. That would have been funny.
it was a great school, and I was very quiet. I was very, very shy, very, very quiet, believe it or not. And, and when I was like kindergarten through first, second, third, I was just like one of the kids that just kind of, you know, was quiet. I held hands with my first girlfriend when I was in second grade, you know. I brought a Dr. Ruth as a guest of mine.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
I remember holding hands with a girl named Flossie. I forget her last name. I remember we would take a walk down to the public library in our school. You know, I guess it was kids the library, whatever. And Flossie and I held hands the whole walk down and the whole walk back. And the teacher brought us aside, I think the principal or whatever, and told us how we shouldn't be holding hands. Inappropriate.
Oh,
and I said,
wow.
And I just told them that, bear with me here. I'll see if I want to tell you. I have it. Hold on. This is a little different.
Okay.
I'm on the, hold on. I told them what I First of all, I told him what I did.
Woo! Oh, my goodness. You were just banging.
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what I told them. And, yeah, they didn't let us hold hands anymore. That was my first romantic experience with a girl. Second grade. Yeah. But anyway, so a third grade came around, and then they figured, Andy's this quiet lad. And they thought maybe I would do better if I was in a different type of school. So they found this one.
Okay.
I went to college and went, finished up. I wish that school would have, at the time, continued through high school and everything. It was amazing. And even at graduation, the art department made up these amazing scroll diplomas. And they went to your parents and they found out really funny, weird things that you did as a kid growing up, and they reenacted them at the graduation. There are small classes, so we're not talking about a whole bunch. Yeah, and for me, I'll never forget this. I mean, I remember my sixth grade graduation like yesterday. For me, they asked my parents or my mom, whatever, and what is something you remember that Andy did? It was kind of funny, kind of off the wall. Well, when I was real little, a little toddler, I had a little boat, but I used to float to the ocean and let it come back. It was called my boop. Where's my boot? That was my boot.
That's cute.
And I would throw it out. It would come out, and I would throw it out in the ocean. And here I am with boats today. Yeah. I mean, my boats have been, as you know, part of my whole life ever since, right? So anyway, that's kind of funny when you think about it. But anyway, there's a helicopter flying low here. I don't know if you can hear it, but wait till he passes over. Get out of here, dude. I'm doing a radio show.
How rude.
Go.
I get that intrusion all the time with planes coming over. It's just like, they're really loud.
You hear it?
This guy's quite
low. I wonder if he's looking for us. He's looking. Uh-oh, where are the Escalades? Okay, anyway. all right, so.
No, I don't hear it.
So here's what happens. The boob bum and the ocean, sometimes there's, you've been to a beach, and sometimes the waves, there's an undertow, kind of goes sideways. So I'm throwing my boob out, going back and throwing my boob out. Then I realized I'd walked pretty far away from my parents. So I have no idea where I'm at on the beach. No idea where I'm at. So there's a guy walking, an older guy, just walking along the beach, taking a walk. And I just reached up and grabbed his hand and started walking with him.
Oh.
Hello. How about you?
All right, little guy. How you doing?
Hello. And, please, sir, I want some more.
The funny thing is, when I was doing hello, little guy, I was actually looking down next to me as if somebody was actually stood next to me.
I started walking. I just grabbed the guy's hand. I had no idea who it was. I just see this, and at my height, his hand, when you're walking, you pick your hand out, just below your hips, or wherever your hand, however low your hand comes down on your arm.
Cool.
So at my height, my eyes were his hand level at that age, right? So I just saw his hand. I remember the guy had a red bathing suit on. I can visualize it now. And I saw his hand. So I just reached up and grabbed it and started walking with him. Hello.
Adorable.
How are you?
The
I'm fine. What's new? How's your wife? She's fine. Tato, chuliyo, good day.
Oh, wait, what was this guy's response when you grabbed his hand? Can you remember? Response when you grabbed his hand. Can you remember?
He didn't, what the hell? Who's this? He grabbed your hand. He starts walking with you. And I guess he went to lifeguards, I guess, and they found my parents. I think that's what happened. And he helped. I mean, they figured, they walked back and then they... my parents on the blanket and they were concerned. My parents didn't know what I was. They didn't know I'm just out socializing on the beach. I started socializing at a very, very early age. It's all about being with people, being out there, making a difference. So I'm saying everybody.
Right? Yeah, I was exactly
And I haven't changed
same.
Since. Today,
no.
You know what I do? I walk What's up that? And I grab people's hands and start walking with them. It's all women.
That explains a few things.
That's what I do. I'm just walking on the street and say, here's somebody. I grab their hand, start walking. Who are you?
That explains why I received a phone call to come to a station and collect you one night. You don't remember that?
What happened? Who?
You don't remember the night when I had a phone call and I had to come to the station to collect you? You've been disturbing the peace by grabbing women's hands?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that night.
I remember that night. We are an audience of men. We've never met, but we are married. So so she does take care of me. And then she gets the calls from the police station. She goes down, bails me out. She refuses to meet me. Yeah, but she, she takes care of me. I'd be nowhere. I'd be nowhere without Amanda. This girl's amazing.
Oh, bless you. Oh, thank
She's
you.
She's amazing.
If only they knew what I had to put up with. I love you, really.
It ain't easy being me, you know what I mean? No respect at all.
And actually, it's not easy being me either, so you're right, darling. I can relate.
I know. I get it. That's why this show is, You know what I mean?
Go back to the whole cursing thing. Like, I guess there's, let's face it, everything is different with intention, right? You can say the most vile word in the world, but if you say it in a different tone, it can be presented completely differently. Yeah, if you're more aggressive behind it, then obviously that's going to have a major impact and cause a lot of problems for people. And there's power in words. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there is. Words, because that's all we have is our words. That's all, when it comes right down to it, we have is our words. No matter how you communicate. Well, if you're blind, then you use your hands. No, is that right?
Yeah.
No, if you're... No, wait.
Well, you do to a certain degree, You're like reading Braille.
If you can't...
Stuff.
What's it called? Not blind. Because you can... If you're blind, you can talk. So you don't need your... If you're... is that deaf or is that can't hear? What's the one where you can't talk?
Mute.
I don't know. Thank you.
They call it dumb, don't they? I don't like that word, but it's mute.
I don't like that word either. I think that's very
it's awful.
You know what I'm saying? Demonstrative.
Yes.
Not that. You know what I'm saying?
Derogative.
Thank you, that one.
Yeah.
My 2-year-old could use this word correctly. I can't. But anyway. I think that's very demeaning, actually. And you know what? Just what you're saying. Fuck you is like, that's not, fuck you. When you literally translate that, depending on who you're saying to, somebody could say, sure, where, if you say that literally, depending on who, depending what the context of relationship is, what it said, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. But if you were actually translate, or not just, whatever, take the literal translation for what the word means. The act of fucking.
Yeah.
Right? For intercourse, right? Okay. So that is, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So why is that interpreted as a bad word to say?
Yeah.
We're giving it a meaning. We're making the word fuck, we're making it mean something bad when it is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So fuck it. I think we should just. We're attempting to change a lot of things in the world, you and I on the show, for the last year and a half. We are
absolutely,
probably.
Yeah. I changed my seating position and my back is on my keyboard and mouse quite often. all in the show, seriously, I understand and I agree with you, and I guess you hear so many different aspects of life and. People's ideas of where the word came from, because obviously the Bible always comes up, always, and it says in the beginning there was the word, and obviously, like you said, we have that is our way of communication and achieving things in life is by verbal communication. So yes, the word is very true. So what power does that hold? I should imagine it holds a great power, and also there's supposedly energy with words as well. Because if you say a word to somebody, again, it all happens with the tone of voice as well, how you deliver it. But that word, that energy can have a tremendous effect on another person, psychologically, emotionally, So it's like there comes great responsibility, I guess, with what we're expressing. I think that's why people get so pissed off with people cursing. But I'm sorry that people get so fucking pissed off of cursing. I wish you all the fucking best, and you're fucking awesome.
You know, but here, let's analyze fucking, that's not so bad thing. You know, shit, that's not so bad thing. But then let's interpret damn you. You know, damn you, damn, right? Damn would, I'm not really up on that word too much, but isn't damn implicate hell? Am I right about that? Damn,
I think so. I mean, I think there's that relation to it, sure. I mean, I'm not that clued up on it either, sweetheart, to be fair.
Yeah, so you and I, we go for the fucking shit. We don't use damn much. We do, you know.
Yeah.
Right? It's not Andy the Man show, damn that shit. It's Andy the Man show, fuck that shit.
Yes.
Right, yes. Right. So, but let's look, because people say damn, that would, the connotation there would mean I wish you ill, I wish you harm, I wish you bad. Damn you. Because the connotation is, it would be, that's relating to hell. But let's look at that. Let's break that down for a second. Dinosaurs existed for 60, 70 million years, whatever, right? Mm. Okay. So, was there a hell when dinosaurs were here? When hell could not be expressed or verbalized or imagined or interpreted or being seen as a place that actually exists, since the dinosaurs were here for 70 million years before we were, they did not say the word hell as far as we know or damn, right? As far as we know, they didn't speak. They were.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Did it wrong. Did it wrong. Yeah.
Right. So here's what I'm thinking, that since this Earth has been around, and there's been other species that have occupied this world a hell of a lot, get that, a hell of a lot longer than we have, and the word hell and damn didn't manifest itself, didn't make an appearance in this planet, in this universe, until we were here to express it, we must have invented it. So if we invented it, then why is that such a bad thing?
Well, that's true, I guess. Yeah. Makes sense.
See. Welcome to the Andy Manager Show. Our number is 515-605-988. Call us. Give us. You know. Is that? Thank you. The wrong number.
No. 515-605-9888.
Well, I meant to.
Did you actually give the wrong number? I wasn't paying attention.
I should give somebody's number out. You know, just say the end of number. You know, call 215-937-26. You know, 55, and people call. You know, they say, "What the fuck are you talking about? I hate this conversation." You go, huh? Excuse me. What? Who's it? Isn't this the Andy the Manager show? The what?
I can. Then the other person who doesn't curse is like, I get all these fucking calls about Andy and Amanda show. The fuck is on the phone?
Oh my god.
I can see where you're kind coming of from. And again, it all goes to the intention, doesn't it? Why those words were created and blah, 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 blah. But it is actually interesting to find out the history of it all. Definitely. I really find things like that interesting.
Yeah.
But like when you hear all these sayings from years ago that our ancestors and, you know, used to say back in the day, and you think, oh, where did that come from? Why is it still, you know, relevant today and people still use it? And I find that fascinating as well.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Funny enough, I had this conversation with my mother yesterday. I said, why is it they say... Yeah, because over here we have this saying, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. I'm like, who's this Bob and Fanny? They always keep popping up, like, you know? And I said, well, I wonder where that comes from. She's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, it'd be interesting to look into that. And apparently, the Irish used it in America, saying, Bob's your uncle. And I think they use it in a different way. Over here, we say, Bob's your uncle when a task is done. But we say Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, when everything's ultimately done, everything's completed, there's no further something. So I was like, okay. Because I always wondered about that. So it's funny, this is where these phrases and terms come from. It's pretty cool.
Unbelievable.
Very true.
Or you know, when you get what I used to do. I remember now what I did when I was a kid. God, we all did, I think. I'm going back to second grade now, but I just had a flashback. I remember.
Ooh.
It's like the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in.
Yeah.
You take your right foot out. You put your right foot in. You shake it all about.
Of course.
Do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. Boom. That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's an interesting concept in itself, isn't it? The hokey pokey. It's like, well, what is the hokey pokey? I've got something bad popping in my mind right now, but
that could be a potential hazard.
Yes, it really is, actually. Oh, my day. Yeah, I agree. Do you have any interesting sayings that, you know, your family has said or, you know, that you've heard growing up that you've always wondered where it's come from?
Yes. I do. As a matter of fact, from when I was little on, now I'm thinking about it.
In a relationship, you have to make time for sex.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Get set over here, too.
No, yes. Anyway, no. You know, I don't remember anything specific, you know, that we would say or anybody would say. I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
It's a slogan, a curse word, a something. My folks cursed, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
And it was okay. And they explained it to it. I mean, it's okay. You know, it's you know, my mom used to, we were growing up little. So look, it's venting anger. It's a natural human reaction. And, you know, again, the thinking being is, okay, when you get to a certain age, you know, I can pick up the phone and my kid's a little whatever and curse or, you know, get watch a football game or soccer game, whatever it might be, or whatever. Or build something and I put the wrong screw in and I got to take everything back and redo it again. You say, fuck, Jesus Christ, you know, stuff like that. And you just do that.
Yeah.
And nobody, you know, when does that become, okay, you can't, but to say that when you're 7 or 12, can't, suddenly you're 16.
Yeah.
Oh, you can say it now. who defines that line? Who says we're, and not that it's ever appropriate, depending on where you live and where you're at when you say it, as I said before, raising kids. But when it is appropriate, kids are taught don't even use it then. Like if you're in under the confines of the roof of your home where you live, and I can't speak for all parents because how do I know, right? But for the most part, if a kid, from what I know, and again, I could be wrong, but for what I'm thinking is, for the most part, if a kid, a young kid curses, they're going to get hell for it in the house. Or if not hell, they'll get reprimanded, they'll get scolded, they'll get time out or whatever. But in my world, if you curse under the confines of your roof where it's safe, where you're in an environment with people you know and you have permission to do something, then it's okay to do.
Yeah.
Because that's how anger they get pent up. And then how many psychiatry bills is that kid going to have when they grow up?
Oh, well, this is the thing, isn't it? That's on a whole other subject as well, repressed emotion in kids. And stuff,
exactly.
You know. You know, I think kids are not encouraged to express their emotions enough. Parents, you know, we all got egos. Let's face it, we all got egos. And when a child is coming to you, irritated or whatever, and they're frustrated and angry, but they don't know why. And you know, it gets on your nerves sometimes. You'll be like, oh, just stop. You know, don't do this. Don't get angry. And they're like, but why?
Right.
Why do I have to stop this emotion, this feeling? They don't understand this. And, you know, why is this wrong? And then when you get older, you suppress it and you're taught not to show anger to people or your partners, you know, your parents. The list goes on. But you still experience it because it's a normal part of our human makeup. And suppressing it can ultimately lead to those terrible outbursts and even violence and psychological problems, all because we're not allowed to express the most simplest emotion and the most natural emotion. Yep. And I've learned a lot, actually, through my sister, who's raising my beautiful little nephew. And she's taken to parenting incredibly well. I'm very proud of her. And, you know, she's been reading into all these wonderful things, like psychology of a child and how the parent can help a child express their emotions and things like that. So I've witnessed this with her and him. Mm-hmm. And I've applied some of the same things, but I was like, yeah, you know what, I get it. Yeah, wow, yeah, that makes sense. And watching him transform is incredible. He got really angry today. He was so frustrated. He stayed over. We're trying to put him to bed. And he's got his toys, and he's just like, no, I don't want to go to bed. I want to go back to daddy's house. And I'm like, come here, sweetheart. What's wrong? Come talk to me. Are you feeling angry? And he's just like, you can see he wanted to express, yes, I am, but I'm not sure what that is. So it's okay. Do you need to tell me something? Do you need to say something to me? And he was just venting, and then he paused. You could see I was making this breakthrough with him. He looked at me for a moment. I said, would you like a cuddle? And he was about to approach me for a cuddle, and then his ego and anger kicked back in again, and then he kind of denied me and pushed me away. I thought, okay, okay, so he's just learning how to balance this emotion right now. And then eventually, within 30 seconds, he agreed to go up to bed. And it was fantastic, just giving him that attention to show, hey, it's okay to feel this. You're not a bad little person for experiencing this. And it was incredible to watch that transformation. Amazing.
That is. Because what you're just saying, you know, when you think about it, if a kid is punished for themselves, then maybe if they can't curse them, maybe they hit. If they can't say, maybe the emotion, your emotion, you're a human being. Humans are emotional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what they're really doing, and here's the thing, let's look at this again. Let's look at the actual dynamic and what the translation is of that dynamic. So I'm a kid and in my house and I'm building a toy or I'm doing something, whatever. You know, I'm playing and I say, oh fuck. And the mommy or daddy or the brother, mom, you know, Joey just cursed or Melissa just cursed, whatever the case may be. And what? Timeout. You get a timeout. Because you're getting a timeout because you expressed yourself. Because you said the word fuck.
Yeah.
You don't know what the word fuck means. I don't know what the word fuck means. Well, that means if you knew, you would realize it's a bad word.
Yes.
Fucking ain't no bad word. Because when that kid turns 15, 16, 17, whatever, I don't care how old, when they lose their virginity, they're going to realize that fucking ain't so bad.
Yeah. I get you.
Fucked up where we live in, isn't it? Isn't it fucked up?
Yes, it is, quite frankly.
So, but then it goes along with all kinds of, but they shouldn't fuck until you're married. Oh, what's it saying? Oh, no premarital sex. Sick.
These people are sick.
I remember watching something once and it showed a clip of these teenagers wanting to get married, and they went to a vicar because it was their family to do so due to their religion. Mm. I think they were Catholic or something like that. And they went to this vicar, and he's like, so have you guys had sex, you know, before you're planning to get married? And they kind of lied and looked at each other, but he knew straight away. And he said, you know, the reason why it's suggested to do it after marriage, and they kind of like, no, what's that? And he said, well, you know, because you got something new to experience together after making that commitment, and you're not losing the excitement before the marriage takes place, because it adds value to that marriage. And if you do it before the marriage, he's kind of like, well, now you're married, it's carrying on with the same thing. And the way he expressed it, I was like, oh, you know what? You know, I could, I can get on board with that. I could appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not religious in any sense. I don't necessarily believe, you know, what we just expressed. But it's just, I thought that's an interesting take. Yeah, I can see the value in that.
Here's what's interesting too. I can only relate to myself. I had, as opposed to a whole lot of short term relationships as an adult, and oh heck, I didn't get married until my 30s. So, you know, growing up, I'm still not growing up. I'm still thinking what I'm going to be when I grow up. But anyway, aside from that, I hope I never grow up. Where's Peter Pan? Anyway,
absolutely, so, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. But here's the thing. So I had a high school relationship with a whole lot of sex. I'm talking every single day, right? Mm. Every day, and I've, you know, with an amazing girl with an amazing body. And we had a lot of fun, right? So we cut school and just hang out in her bedroom all day long sometimes. And mom would be downstairs and time for school. We'd sneak out of her room, you know, sneak on down, climb up through the powder room window, go around, knock on the front door like we just got home from school. We're upstairs doing it all day long. You know what I'm saying? So, so here's the thing though, right? But we didn't kiss for 8 months. So I'm that kind of guy. So anyway,
okay.
I haven't changed a bit. Anyway, so the thing is that going back to being 17, 16, 18, 19, right? Sex every single day. No, taking what you just said, you know, oh, okay, you wait till you're married, then you might get this amazing sex so you can explore and learn together after you're married, right? So what I realized, though, is having sex a whole lot as a teen. Mm. And then another relationship after that, another relationship after that, a lot of sex, but long-term relationships, not just going out and having sex with whoever. I never did that. But a lot of long-term relationships, you know, live-ins, several years, bam. You know, there's a couple of short terms every once in a while, whatever, but nothing, you know, that's not my life. So, So here's my point, that I even realized that after a while, even at 18, when your hormones are but you start having sex every single day at 16 or whatever it is, even at 18, 19, you're doing it every single day. You know, somebody doesn't feel like it. You know, So even, you know what I mean, at 18, 19 years old, you know, same girl, you know, never venture outside the relationship, you know.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you'd, like, you know, what Jimmy Carter said, I remember one time during an interview, you lusted in your heart. Yeah, he lusted in his heart. I remember that. But anyway, most people, men and women, lust in their heart. You know, if you're in relationships, do whatever, do anything. Probably not. Some do, and I don't condemn those who have, you know, whatever, to each their own, whatever. But, you know, most people have lusted in their heart, even if they're in an exclusive relationship. I mean, to say you don't is like, come on. Because you see this attractive person, you're like, whoa. You know, you might not, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know, I got to rethink that for a second. No. I'm thinking to myself. I'm just thinking.
Right.
You know, sometimes when I say something that is, I think back, it goes back to this relationship or something, and I'm thinking, you know, bam, something gets triggered. I'm like, da, 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 da. No, I still lost it in my heart. Still lost it in my heart. Okay.
Was it your heart or was it somewhere else?
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Anyway, do you remember what I was saying?
You were talking about lusting for someone else outside of a relationship.
No. I was saying. I know.
Right.
That your relationship and you're having sex, maybe your sex life gets a little, you know, same thing. It's like, you know, we could, you know, sometimes if you're not into it, you just don't feel like it, whatever.
Yeah.
It could be, it's actual work. It's work. It can be work. You know?
Yeah, of course.
You know, in your head, you're thinking, I would love to just turn over right now and just go to sleep, man. I mean, so
that's the thing, isn't it? There's moments in every relationship, no matter how serious the relationship or not, when there's like one person wants it and the other one doesn't because they're just not in the right place for it. And it's understandable.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's physically, mentally in that place, like, yeah, I've got to put all this effort in now because it does feel like effort for me right now. You know, I'm feeling all these things. Go away.
Yeah. It is sometimes. How do we get on the subject anyway? I don't know.
We drift off, not off track, because one thing is literally led to the other, just like sex.
Yeah, we have no track to begin with.
Yes. No. wait, I'm getting confused. Is there a track? No, there isn't a track. Wait, there is a track. I don't know. Yeah, so no, you were making some valid points there, but I'd like to know where you were going with the conversation. Oh. Am I on my own? Has the call dropped out? Because it sounds like Mr. Kimball has gone very, very silent right about now. Huh. Okay, let me see what's happened from headquarters here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Let's investigate the situation.
I'm reviewing that situation. I must quickly look up everyone I know. Titled people with a station who can help me make a real impressive show.
Okay, let's find Mr. Kimball in my contacts list and see exactly he has gone in and see if he's vanished up his own arse. There's Mr. Kimball. Dear Mr. Kimball, I am now lonesome on the Andy and Amanda show.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Has your phone died? Or just a conversation?
Sometimes those answers are so dumb you wish you could take them back.
Ha, ha, ha. We shall see. Has the message? Yes, the message has been delivered. That must mean the phone is on. But where
I'm
he
back.
Has gone?
Sorry, there he is. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. I accidentally hung up on Amanda. I thought somebody was I had to do this so remotely because we said earlier because of an internet issue. So somebody's calling in on my regular phone because right now I'm connected to using my phone to connect to the internet, you know, to our show. And somebody called in on the phone and I looked at it and it wasn't hung up. So I hit end call, but the number that wasn't hung up was our show.
So I
hung up. I thought it was somebody calling in. Somehow I got connected. Because I'm, you know what I'm saying? So I said, well, fuck that. Yeah. And I hung up on you.
I'm not taking it.
What were you saying?
I know you just wanted abandon.
Maybe I meant to hang up on you. What did you say?
Well, I had a little conversation with our listeners and I was explaining exactly the message I was typing out to you. I even put on a very posh voice in doing so. So the playback should be funny.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. How are you on time, Amanda? I'm totally clueless to this.
Well, we have 5 minutes left. Five grand. Well, shit.
Damn.
Hasn't time flown yet?
Really? It's so much fun.
I thought you
Let's plug our show a little for those of you who are still with us, who haven't gotten totally disgusted by our conversation in the show. We are totally raw, unscripted, no agenda, no anything. Amanda and I have no idea what we're going to talk about in any given show, except when we have guests on the show, obviously. We do have guests. We've been having more and more guests. We have so many publicists and people in all sorts of arenas and walks of life who have contacted the show. To be not just as a caller, but to come on as a guest of ours on the show, and we have a lot of exciting, you know, great people lined up. And also, Amanda is launching, which I think is great that you did this. I think you talked about it earlier. So your idea, I forget, I think it was yours, but anyway, to do, because we're both musicians, and that's our regular game.
We don't keep
that secret. That's, you know, I've got a website, Andy Kimball. I play guitar. I've played all over the country, and I've toured and played festivals. I've got records out and, you know, Spotify, everywhere. That's what we really do. And this show's a fun thing. Started kind of during COVID, or maybe just before COVID, actually, but ended up being a COVID thing. And here we are, you know, a year and a half later, with since Coast to Coast, which is the actual umbrella name of our show, began in April of 2020, we have well over 300 episodes. And at one time, we were daily, Monday through Friday, and it was so much work. It was just, you have no idea, folks.
I didn't have any idea either.
We are not professionals. This doing a show, the pre-production, production, getting the audio clips that we play, having a lot of fun, which I think our listeners know that they laugh. They call the show and they expect to laugh most of the time.
Yeah.
And we generate all that. We create, we have fun time. We have interviews with late presidents and people who aren't with us anymore. And, you know, we make up debates between political candidates and other people. We just make it up. It's a tremendous amount of work, hours and hours and hours of work. And then you do the show and then post-production, then putting it on podcasts and all that.
Yeah, so, and it's not as though we have a huge team of people behind us, either, like a normal radio station.
Exactly. And 5 days a week. No, we have the capability because we did it. We can do a 5-day-a-week show if we had a staff.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, because right now we are looking at going on real radio, and if we do that, it might be if we'll get a staff. Hopefully, it'll be part of our deal. Or SiriusXM. Hopefully, we'll get a staff as part of our deal. And you'll hear us, folks, on satellite radio, on select market FM or AM broadcast stations, depending. But we don't know when that's going to happen. By the way, I don't want everybody sitting at the edge of their seats. Wow, they're going to all tune in Sirius, but that is not. We don't have a timeline for that, but we're headed that way. So the point being is we went from 5 days a week to 3 days a week, still a whole lot of work. But the beauty of our show is that we don't have any specific lean or agenda or script or we got to do this. You know, if there's incredible events happening in the news, we talk about it. I mean, sometimes there's incredible events happening in the news, like I think there is today. We don't talk about it. Mm. We just fuck it. You know? We do what we do.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Absolutely.
So we connect to the show. It's you hear the intro music, whatever it is for that day, and boom, it's Amanda in the UK. I'm 8,000 miles away in LA, and we don't know what we're going to talk about. And it's kind of cool because our listeners kind of get to be entertained, hopefully. And, you know, we're in 23 countries around the world with listeners and thousands of followers and Instagram and all that crap. So we have listeners, right?
Yes.
And hopefully the reason why they're listening is just for a breath of a fresh air talk radio. We're not one of these Sean Hannity, Dennis Prager, you know, hate the world, whatever, you know, political. We talk politics, yes. Was Donald Trump the most dangerous, irresponsible, lying son of a bitch president we ever had in the world? Yes, it has nothing to do with us being Democrats or Republicans. And Amanda's in the UK, right? And she's provided better commentary on the subject that I have here in the United States. So anyway, that is who we are. It's the Andy and Amanda Show. You can normally call in, although I had a fun time having you not call in today, I must say. But our number is 515-605-9888, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m., Eastern Standard Time. You can connect to the show around the world by, if you don't have a phone or can't dial in because it's, you know, whatever, toll call, whatever, you can email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to join the show, you know, at a future date, and we'll send you a link so you can do it as long as you have a headphone and headphones and microphone. Also, our website is andyandamandashow.com. Please tune into that website. Let us know what you think. Email us. You can listen to archived episodes. There's over 300 and some of them, I think. There's a lot of them. And that's who we are. You know, this is the Andy and Amanda Show. I'm Andy Kimball,
and
Amanda Love in the UK.
Yes.
And we're
absolutely
married. Yes, we are.
Yes. Yes, but we shall have on a Wednesday. We planned it for a Wednesday to have an unsigned artist come on to the show. And we're going to make that a regular thing, but it's going to be about twice a month, which is what we agreed, right, sweetheart?
Yes.
So we've got some prospective artists lined up, ready to come on the show. So we're making that happen. And that's going to be within the next few weeks. So to watch this space on Wednesday should be interesting. You never know, they could be the next huge thing in music. So that's going to be fun.
Yes. Yeah, and also we did speak to, I hooked up with a musician from the U from London today via TikTok, who's part of the association. They want to come on our show, and I told them to get hold of us. But we are musicians. If you want to talk about music, we'd love to have you on board. I guess we're out of time.
Absolutely.
We're out of here.
We are.
Take us home.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, so on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And on behalf of my fucking self in here in the UK. Thank you for joining us on today's show. It's been one out of a funny one. And join us again on Friday. And it's going to be interesting and a lot more fun. I just don't know where I'm going with this. So thanks for listening and tuning in on Friday. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, guys, we pulled another one up, Amanda. One more for the books, babe.
Yeah.
One more.
One more.
All right,
one
babe.
More.